the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when Zechariah was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him, but the angel said to him,
"Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many people in Israel to the Lord their God. With the Spirit and the power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Zechariah said to the angel,
"How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years."
"I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur."
Some time had passed, and those waiting wondered at the delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them. And they realized that he'd seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them, but he was so unable to speak, he went home. In time, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Soon the time came for her to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and everyone rejoiced. Then on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child at the temple, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said,
"No, his name is John."
So they began motioning to Zechariah, what do you want?" He asked for a writing tablet, and on it, he wrote,
"John."
And all of them were amazed, for immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was freed, and he began to speak, praising God, saying,
"Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from those who hate us. God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace."
All who heard these things pondered his words and wondered, "What will this child become? for indeed the Lord was with him. And John grew, and he became strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel.
The Jesus story in the Gospel of Luke begins with two songs, the Song of Mary and the Song of Zechariah. Today's sermon will begin and end with two songs. I will begin by repeating the song from last Sunday's sermon and then end with Zechariah's song. Last Sunday, Maren quoted Mary Louise Bringle's hymn that went like this. Sing a new world into being. Sound a bold and hopeful theme. Find a tune for silent yearnings. Lend your voice and dare to dream. Sing a new world into being. Live the promise you believe. At first glance, we might think that the silent yearnings of Luke's first chapter is only about a childless couple longing to have a child to carry on the family name and their cherished values. Or perhaps it is like this story from West Africa, where every birth has a spiritual beginning. There in one of the tribes of West Africa, when a young woman wants to have a child, she goes out into the forest and sits by a tree and silently listens. She listens until she hears a new song, the song of the child yet to be. And when she learns that new song, she goes back home and teaches the song to her husband. And when they can sing the song together, they make love, believing the new song is the child's song of life. And when the woman becomes pregnant, she teaches the new song to the women of the village, who will sing the song back to the woman when she's in painful labor. And when the baby is born, the whole village sings the child's song. Anytime later, when the child falls down or gets hurt, anyone in the village can sing the child's song to comfort or soothe the growing child. Later still, in any life transition, the song is sung to celebrate this child's life. At the completion of education, at the beginning of new work, upon the young person finding a partner, and at the wedding celebration, the song, now well known in the village, is sung in full voice. And during life's ups and downs, the song is still sung together. And finally, in the time of dying and death itself, the song first heard in the heart and spirit of a listening mother is sung in thanksgiving and praise for the gift of that particular life. Every life has a spiritual beginning. Sing a new world into being. Sound a bold and hopeful theme. Find a tune for silent yearnings. Lend your voice and dare to dream. Sing a new world into being. Live the promise you believe. But Luke 1 is more than one child's song discovered by an old couple. The first chapter of Luke picks up on the yearnings of a faithful but old priest and his barren wife. They might be symbols for the ancient nation of Israel. For Zechariah and Elizabeth live in a time of Roman military occupation and cultural domination. To practice devout Judaism was not easy when economic commerce, architecture, political structures were all formed by the influences of both Greek and Roman cultures. Perhaps only in their homes, or at least in the temple, did Jews feel free enough to worship according to their faith and traditions. And only in their worship did an alternative view of reality find nurture and hope. In traditional worship practices, Jews found the courage to sing a new world into being and live the promise they believe. And by holding fast to traditional worship practices, Zechariah and Elizabeth hoped to keep alive their Jewish faith, and especially that belief that God had promised to their people that a king like their ancestor David would once again rule the nation of Israel. To Zechariah and Elizabeth, both from priestly families, true worship was to sing a new song into being and live the promise you believe. This was a community song and yearning, more than an African child's life song. This song and yearning was generations and centuries in the making. And coming from their priestly tribes, their particular duties in the temple was on behalf of the whole community. It was not just performed for themselves, but on behalf of the people that were gathered for worship. Burning incense at the altar of incense could only be done by the properly chosen priest for that time, and at a prescribed time and place in the Holy of Holies. When once Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot and according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for burning incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So join me in prayer. The forms of worship at the time of Luke's first chapter were different. Today, not so much this particular service, our worship is filled with words of hymns and songs, the words of the children's story, the words of Scripture, the words of the sermon, the words of our prayers and announcements, and the words of benediction. We have a wordy form of worship. But when Zechariah was priest in Luke's first chapter, worship had a lot more ritual action. So I'm grateful that the worship planners had some other actions this morning. Ritual actions. There were more times of silence while the priest solemnly performed offerings to God. And the ritual of lighting the incense had a particular meaning for them. They believed that the fragrance of the smoke was an offering to God and as an act of repentance and of cleansing, so they could dare to enter into God's presence. Perhaps the one ritual action we do in our worship, like the priestly action of burning incense, is when two boys take the offering plates, and after we have collected the offering, they walk up, and sometimes we kind of laugh because they have a lot of fun just holding that plate way up, offering it to God. But I love that little action of the boys in our midst. And then while they hold that plate up to God, we sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." It was in a ritual moment, a time of silence within worship, that a heavenly messenger brought a new song to Zechariah the priest. Sing a new world into being. Live the promise you believe. But Zechariah hesitated. Can anything new come from an old person? Can anything of the future come from old traditions? Oh, yes, says the messenger. The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true in their proper time." 9 months of speechless silence. 9 months of inward listening. 9 months of remembering and memorizing the words of the angel. 9 months to deeply realize that the song of that the angel sang to Zechariah was not just for Zechariah and Elizabeth. It was a song for all of Israel. It was the song of God's future being fulfilled. So much so that the song first heard when he was burning the incense at the temple became for Zechariah a song burning within him, a song of God's salvation. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, to the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to be able to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Notice how Zechariah is not tooting his own horn. He is not singing, "An old man can be a new father, an old man can be a new father." Instead, the song from silence, the song heard deep within, is a song for all to sing. A song of hope, a song of peace, a song of salvation. Zechariah's song turns upside down the way we usually think of salvation. We generally think that salvation is first a personal and private experience that is later shared and celebrated with others. Later still, we generally think our personal salvation will have social and or political implications. Not so with Zechariah's song. Zechariah's song of salvation. The song which pours forth from his liberated tongue is first a community song and a political song. Just as the songs of the civil rights movement sang a new reality into being, so Zechariah's song sings the hope of his people. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe. We shall overcome someday. Only people who have been living in darkness can sing that song with hope, because it comes from within. And Zechariah's song transcends personal fulfillment. It transcends personal meaning or personal safety. Zechariah sings into reality a vision of God's kingdom. I've been impressed with the speakers that have come to the Sunday school class that meets over here. The last couple Sundays, Tim and others have invited people from our community here in Charlottesville to speak to us about the work with the homeless. The Pacham collection of churches that shelter homeless people, their first goal was just to keep them from freezing. And now with the Haven and some other agencies in town, they're trying to move the homeless people from a chronic situation into more permanent housing and helping them find jobs and treatments for their mental illnesses or addictions. A vision that goes beyond a vision of salvation that goes beyond saving someone from freezing. It may be in this season of ritual actions in our homes or congregations, or as some would say, old traditions of the holiday season, a new song will come to one of us that sings a new future for us all to sing. Sing a new world into being. Live the promise you believe.
In the days of King Herod, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when Zechariah was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing in the midst of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him, but the angel said to him,
"Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many people in Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
But Zechariah said to the angel,
"How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years."
"I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until these days and these things occur."
Some time had passed, and those waiting wondering at the delay in the sanctuary. When Zechariah did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning them, but still he was unable to speak, and so he went home. And in time, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Soon the time came for her to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and everyone rejoiced. Then on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child at the temple, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said,
"No, his name is John."
So they began motioning to Zechariah to find out what name he wanted. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote,
"John."
Then all of them were amazed, for immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was freed, and he began to speak, praising God, saying,
Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of the prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
All who heard these things pondered his words and wondered, what will this child become? For indeed the Lord was with him. And John grew, he became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel.